Arab world has been under a spotlight. Popular uprisings have swept the region and captivated international attention since early February. In the U.S., earlier this month, Congressman Peter King held controversial congressional hearings to investigate the radicalization of American Muslims. Today, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin will counter with a congressional hearing on anti-Muslim bigotry. In the midst of this historic period marked by bloody struggle, hard-won victories abroad, and raucous, sometimes violent debate in the U.S. about a people and a religion, three Arabs are issuing a call for laughter. Dean Obidala, Maysoon Zayed, and Aaron Kader are currently on a national tour with their comedy show Arabs Gone Wild. In each city, the trio is joined by local talent. They're comedians who happen to be Arab and Arabs who happen to be very funny on topics ranging from politics to pop culture to dating while Arab. Our listeners in San Diego can catch Arabs Gone Wild at the Comedy Store on Thursday, March 31st, and then the tour makes a stop at the Los Angeles Comedy Store on Friday, April 1st. Here's a taste of what's in store.
Single ladies, if you would like to catch yourself a husband like I did, I can give you some very simple advice. Go to the one place in the world that you will definitely, definitely catch a husband. You know where you should go? Go where I went. Go to Gaza. Yeah, I went to Gaza to catch a husband. Why? Because they got no place to run. This is what I did. I put my American passport in a nice big old frame, and I just walked through that refugee camp, dodging the bullets, going, hey, you want a visa, baby?
I really wish that a drug company in America would have come out with a medication for us, like our own Paxil or Zoloft. Like you turn on TV and say, hello, are you depressed because no one wants to fly in the same plane as you? Are you anxious because you resemble several people on the government's most wanted list? Are you angry because every time you go to the airport, you're randomly selected for extra screening? And you need Arabagon.
Dean Obidala and Maysoon Zayed. Dean Obidala is, in addition to being a stand-up comic, is the co-creator of Comedy Central's internet series, The Watchlist, a frequent commentator on politics, including appearances on CNN, the BBC, and Al Jazeera, and a regular contributor to The Huffington Post. He was a guest on Uprising after the January shootings in Arizona to discuss his article, What If Jared Loughner Were a Muslim? And Maysoon Zayed is the co-founder and executive producer of the New York Arab American Comedy Festival, a cast member of Comedy Central, The Watchlist, and the writer and performer of her one-woman show, Little American Blank. She's shaking her head. She travels to Palestine 3 months of every year, where she founded an organization for disabled and wounded child refugees. Maysoon and Dean, welcome to Uprising.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, Maysoon, let me start with you. Did you really find a husband in Gaza?
I really found the husband in Dehesha, which is in Gaza, but it's a refugee camp. So, yeah, I really did.
Wonderful. And so this is now part of your stand-up repertoire.
It is, until I get divorced, which is coming up really, really quickly also. And then I'll switch to that topic.
And Dean, you know, just... from what you were saying in the clip that we played, the issue of flying while Arab from the last time we had, in fact, both of you on when you were last in L.A., that issue has sadly not become part of your old repertoire. You are still making jokes about it because it's still a sad reality for most Arabs and Muslims.
I don't do as many jokes about that anymore, that topic specifically. Here and there, it has to be more of an incident. I'm talking now more about the body scan. You know, technology at the airport. So it evolves, you know, and as time goes on, as a comedian, you want to evolve. You don't want to be stuck in one place in time. So, I mean, that joke I haven't done in years. It just reminded me of the joke. I'm like, I should do that again.
Okay. Well, but it's still, of course, a big
deal. Well, it is. I mean, I still give advice to people. I tell them, you know, when you go to the airport, dress white, make your flight. You know, dress brown, never leave town. So you've got to, you know, you have to dress like a white person, like Abercrombie and Fitch type of look and khaki pants and a polo shirt.
Yeah.
And it makes your life a little bit easier
at
the airport.
You could pass.
I could pass.
Then the name on your passport shows
up. My word has Allah. My last name has Allah in it. So that gives a little...
You also have a friend named Osama, I understand.
I do. We both have an Arab-American friend named Osama, who I would joke that he's completely immune to identity theft in America. Like he could leave his driver's license and credit card in a crack house and no one wants to be Osama anything. So he lives a charmed life on one way and a very challenging life on the other.
So tell us about the Arabs Gone Wild comedy tour. How is this different from the previous times you folks have toured?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest difference with Arabs Gone Wild is that, like, for me, this is my dream tour. Like, I'm working with the comics that I like best. We've all worked together for a really long time on a bunch of different tours and finally have a chance to tour together, which is difficult because we have these crazy schedules. I think the big thing about Arabs Gone Wild is this isn't Arab humor. This is three comics who are all professional, who all work in clubs, on TV, doing all sorts of different things. And it's a genuinely, genuinely funny show. So you don't have to even like Arabs to laugh. In fact, the less you do, the funnier it'll be.
And Dean, tell us also about, there's a third part of your trio, Aaron Kader. And I understand the one thing all three of you have in common is not just that you have Arab heritage, but that you have Palestinian heritage.
We do, but I think the show is really broadly Arab. It's not specific about being Palestinian whatsoever. And it's not even specific about being Arab anymore. Mm-hmm. The show, it really is for everyone. I mean, it is an Arab 101, but if you know nothing about Arabs, you come to the show, you are going to learn something about us. But you're going to learn more about our point of view than just our heritage. I mean, certainly we talk about things about our family and things specific to being Arab that Arab people in the audience really relate to. But we talk about everything, you know, pop culture, politics, Charlie Sheen comes up, you know, and things in the Arab world today are now part of the daily news. It's not like we're just talking about, if we talk about Libya, everyone's talking about Libya. If we talk about Revolution
Peter
Egypt,
King,
everyone's talking about it.
Peter
King, everyone's talking about it. It's not just us. So the show really is getting, because of what's going on in the news, it's becoming accessible, I think, to everyone, frankly.
And we've seen like such a big change and shift in the audience in the past couple of years, because we are getting a much, much more diverse audience. So as the audience evolves, we evolve with them.
Right. Now, I'm wondering if all of the amazing revolutions in the Arab world has now made it more hip to be Arab. I mean, does this give you some more street credibility?
I think so. I think it definitely has, because people are like into the revolutions and cheering for the revolutions. But it's like, you know, it's good versus evil, because if the revolution's making us hip, Peter King's making us evil. So you have to balance out the two. For every, you know, Obama saying something nice, Bachman will say something not so nice. For every time Obama doesn't bomb an Arab country, he bombs a different one. So it's push-shove. I don't think it's all, you know.
Yeah, well, and then
roses.
there's President Obama, and then there's Sarah Palin. And I know that, you know, a lot of progressives say, can we just not talk about her anymore? But she's a reality. She's there.
She had to – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
She had a great incident in Palestine, just made me cry laughing, because Mrs. Jesus didn't go to where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. She didn't go to the Church of Nativity, because as she was rolling up, she saw the checkpoint and was like, wait a minute. Oh. Where are we going? And they told her, and she was like, no, it's really not that important.
Sarah Palin is great for comedians, though. She has the most potential since
George
Bush.
She's the new Bush, yeah.
She is, and, you know, prettier, but just as bright, I'll put it that way. She's like Lindsay Lohan without the intelligence. That's how I view her. She's really not. I could support her, but not for president, but for manager at Bed Bath & Beyond. I think she'd be amazing in the towel department. That's where you want her to work. I think I could trust her there, like a greeter or something. But it is – there's one good thing, though. I saw yesterday Senator Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican, I probably don't agree with a lot, said about Libya after President Obama's speech, you know, we have to help these people who are rebelling because they share the same values as us as they're striving for democracy and freedom. And I don't think I've heard too many people on either side of the aisle, but definitely the Republican side saying we share the same values as Arabs in the Middle East. And obviously they're Muslim too, so we're sharing the same values. I was really heartened by that. I'm like, that was a great positive thing, that the Americans who have seen us more as maybe alien or suspect or not sharing the same values now see this striving for democracy and go, oh my gosh, look at them. They do want democracy. They want freedom. They're not about oppression, and they don't hate us for our freedoms. They want the freedoms that we have. And it might be oversimplistic, but I was really heartened by that moment, by him saying that yesterday.
So it could be the opening of Arabs can now be cool because of the revolutions on the mainstream level, of course. Let me give our listeners information about the shows that the two of you are performing at, the Arabs Gone Wild comedy tour. It's the San Diego show, I'm hearing, has been sold out already. So sorry to our San Diego
listeners.
There's
tickets at the door. They're going to hold some tickets at the door, 20 literally, but the rest are sold out.
And that's happening in La Jolla at the Comedy Store, 916 Pearl Street, March 31st. That's this Thursday at 8 p.m. And then in L.A. on Friday, April 1st at 8 p.m. at the Comedy Store here, 8433 Sunset Boulevard. And there are still tickets available. Again, that's this Friday at 8 p.m. in Los Angeles at the Comedy Store, 8433 63 Sunset Boulevard. Now, I remember when I came to see the two of you along with the other comics, Arab comics, many years ago here in Los Angeles, the crowd was mostly, I would say majority an Arab crowd. And you were saying, Maysoon, that now the audience has become much more diverse. Why do you think that is?
Because we're just so good that everyone wants to see us. They can't resist. They're drawn in by our Arab coolness. I think definitely the exposure that Dean's gotten on news stations like CNN and our exposure on Al Jazeera, or working with, you know, a little bit more mainstream stuff maybe, is drawing more people in because we're just a little bit higher profile. I think that Live Arabs have American friends and brought them to the last show, and that people who saw us last time are now telling their friends, and that we're building a following in each city. That's, you know, you can't tour for 10 years and have it be all the same group of people. So I think that people tell their friends about the show. I think that Facebook and social networking and Twitter has, like, made us much, much more accessible. So if somebody sees us for 5 minutes on a TV show and they follow us on Twitter and they like what they've seen on TV, then they're going to come out and see the show. So,
and let's talk about the local talent that you also try to promote in each city, because, of course, now that you guys are so established, successful,
Which is tremendously huge.
Big fish in the Jordan River, which has absolutely no water.
How do you help to promote the younger talent or the newer talent?
We basically exploit them as much as possible. Everything's worth. In every city we go to, we try to have local talent. But it's been also a staple of the New York Arab American Comedy Festival. We have a new talent show every year. And we have Arab American comics from all over the country come in and showcase in New York. So, I mean, here in L.A., we have the most. We've actually added the top Arab American comics from LA. We have six others. It's Arabalooza. Wow. We're going to have nine Arab comics.
Arabalooza.
It's Arabalooza. It's nine Arab comics. And some of them don't even talk about being Arab at all. I mean, it's really a range
of diverse.
Some who talk about it to some who don't talk about it at all, just talk about topics that more, you know, generic comics will talk about, but through their own point of view. And also in the Middle East, I mean, I'm involved in producing the Amman Stand-Up Comedy Festival the last 3 years in Jordan. And we've always, in the Middle East, we've always taught comedy. It's been a big part of going there. I call myself like a comedy missionary. It's like comedy missionary work. We're teaching comedy.
So stand-up comedy is not just an American thing.
Not the last 3 years. It's really grown in the Middle East, where the young people there are now doing it. It's not just us going anymore. They're doing their own shows. They're producing their own shows. I was just in Saudi Arabia a month and a half ago. I did my second show there.
In Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia, that has the most vibrant stand-up comedy scene next to Egypt.
Wow.
Of young people producing their own shows, English and Arabic.
That's amazing.
Getting on stage. They're being funny. There's limitations on content a little bit.
Sure.
But those limitations are going to end in places like Egypt.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're evolving. It's going to be more and more freedom to talk about the leaders of the countries you're in. And you can't do that. Although when I was in Lebanon, they said, you can make fun of anyone you want, but if you make fun of Hezbollah, you're on your own. They really said that. I'm not kidding. So
wow.
That was like a little tip.
I just got back from doing shows Valentine's weekend in Palestine, because, of course, everyone associates Valentine's with Palestine. But there's no censorship there. They can't keep up with us. When I started doing stand-up in Palestine, it never, ever occurred to me that anyone was going to censor us anywhere. And I didn't get censored until I was doing, like, a big show in Amman, Jordan. And then someone came up to me and they were like, haha, you can't talk about anything. And so I never knew that we weren't supposed to say stuff. So whenever I was there, I always did. So now, because, you know, thank God the Palestinian Authority is so backwards, everyone's, like, loosening the reins and giving more freedom of speech. They're actually trying to take it away right now. So when I went out there February 14th, I made sure to, like, push it as far as I possibly could.
And do you feel, Maysoon, that you get any additional restrictions just being a woman?
No.
No, it's just equal opportunity censorship?
That's been really interesting. Yeah, no, that's been interesting because
I
get it because I'm
They know her. They've seen her.
I get it because they know who I am. But, like, again, when we started doing stand-up, I was part of it from the very beginning in the Middle East. So no one ever was like, oh, it's a guy thing. That being said, like, I haven't gone to Saudi because I'm not going anywhere in the world where being Muslim trumps being American and I can get whipped at any point. Not going. Don't care. But, you know, I haven't had much luck getting booked in the in like Dubai and the Emirates and stuff. I've had much more luck in like Beirut and
Well, you were talking both of you earlier about how comedy, your comedy, it doesn't necessarily have to do with you being Arab, but often stand-up comics, comedians, particularly those from minorities, that it becomes a central part, or their identity becomes a central part of their show, just because it's a natural thing, and it always can put audiences in a tough spot, especially if you're from outside the minority group, because you laugh at the jokes, but you know that you maybe shouldn't be laughing at jokes that do make fun of that group itself. Do you sense nervous laughter from the non-Arab crowds when you do your shows?
Not at our show, because they see other brown people laughing at the jokes. If it was an all, say, white audience, and you're doing jokes about brown people, they might not know. But you know the old adage that they look at, oh, look, the brown people or the Arabs are laughing, so I can laugh now, or the black people are laughing at the black jokes, I can laugh now. They come to our shows knowing it's a celebration. We're here to have a good time. We're not demonizing. I think the most challenging thing sometimes we challenge white America's perception of who we are. And they can be uncomfortable slightly for that moment, but they know we're not mocking them. But we tell them, sometimes when you share our experiences, I mean, I talk about, I look like a white guy, but I view the world as a minority. Like I watch a news story, and if it's a terrible crime committed and they don't know the identity of the suspect, if you're white, like, I hope they catch him. If you're a minority, like, I hope he's not one of us. You know, and that's and that's the world we live in. Yeah. And I go further with that. And sometimes you get white people you can see a slight bit of uncomfortableness. We're not trying to be divisive. We're just sharing our own perspective and our own experience and what it's like to be in our shoes, which is, regardless of my skin color, we're a minority. If a few of you do something wrong and the rest of your group suffers a backlash, you're a minority in America. Mm-hmm. Certainly Arabs and Muslims fit that bill.
And we're coming upon the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks later this year. And certainly the United States hasn't gotten to be a kinder place for people from Arab and Muslim backgrounds, particularly with the with the Tea Party and with the Republicans fighting against a man, our president, whose middle name is Hussein. It's almost as though it's taken 10 years for the bigotry to kind of ripen and mature. And now we're at a place where it is really scary, despite the uprisings in the Arab world that do add the cool factor. Do you folks who have the high profile, because you're talking about being Arab, do you have any fears? Are you ever in a situation where you hope that you don't get targeted by some of these crazy people bring guns to rallies?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, after Deb Pauly pulled what she pulled in Your Belinda, completely and utterly saying Muslims are not from America, they can't be part of the fabric. I sit online because I'm a crazy person who's bored and goes on YouTube and answers crazy people in a vacuum. And I have people just spending hours trying to prove I'm not American. They're like, you're not American. I'm like, I'm born in New Jersey. They're like, your parents are not American. I'm like, they're both American citizens. So was my grandfather. And like, they can't wrap their brains around it. And these are the same people who eventually send me the scary message on Twitter. And they're the same people who I know are armed to the teeth.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, and I always kid about how, like, I used to go to midnight mass with my Catholic friends, and they'd be like, she's from where Jesus is. And I was always included, and I was never an other. And when I hear what's being said by actual politicians like Lazio, like Deb Pauly, I'm like, when did it become okay completely and utterly target people? And I do find it scary, and I do think it's unsafe. And I've had people accusing me of doing something called taqiyya, and I'm like, I don't know what the heck that means, but basically it's when a Muslim pretends to be good just so he can get close to you and kill you. Wow. And I'm like, if you're explaining it to me, then I obviously don't know what that is. And it's the same thing with, like, you have the fear from that side of the world, and then you have the whole other side of it where the news cycle affects us when we're doing comedy.
And I should mention Deb Pauly called on Marines to take out all Muslims because they were, quote, terrorists. So just to clarify exactly what it was she said, we played that clip on our show and we covered the Yorba Linda hate rally. Well, not to end on an ominous note, but Mason Zayed and Dean Obidala, I wish the two of you the best of luck. The Arabs Gone Wild comedy tour is happening in San Diego and L.A. March 31st and April 1st at 8 p.m. both dates at the Comedy Store in each city. Is there a website for more information?
Yep.
ArabsGoneWild.com. arabsgonewild.com.
Arabsgonewild.com. And we'll link to that from our website, uprisingradio.org, later today. Maysoon and Dean, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, come back next year.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And inshallah, if you'd like, we have two pairs of tickets to the first two very lucky callers who call us at 818-985-5735 to the Los Angeles performance on Friday, April 1st of the Arabs Gone Wild comedy tour. Call us right now at 818-985-KPFK. First two callers will be the lucky winners to see the Arabs Gone Wild comedy tour. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, novelist and playwright J.B. Priestley once said, "Comedy, we may say, is society protecting itself with a smile." That's J.B. Priestley. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.